I'd like to welcome Mary Feldblum. She's the Executive Director of the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, thank you for having me, Mary Charlotte.
You are a very persistent lady. You, year after year, are bringing this question of universal health care, this issue of universal health care, back to the legislature, back to the people. What is the health security plan that you propose and that's before the legislature now? How does it work?
Well, we think the private insurance system is absolutely broken, and something very new and different has to be done. And so the Health Security Act and the plan that would be created by the Act would allow New Mexico to set up its own health plan, like a cooperative, with freedom of choice of doctor and hospital, including cross state lines around the country, and a great benefit package, no less than what the state employees have. It would be administered by a citizens board, not a state agency, that's geographically representative, and it's paid for by the members of the co-op through premiums that are based on income, with a cap for at the high end and a minimum below which some people wouldn't pay, and also employer contributions. In addition, those covered under the co-op would receive lower auto insurance and workers' comp.
And so is it a bill that's before the legislature right now that would actually start to implement that?
Absolutely. The legislation has been introduced in both the House and the Senate as the Health Security Act. It's introduced by Representative Bobby Gonzalez in the House, and in the Senate it's Senator Carlos Cisneros. The bill actually would help start the first year, because there's only a $500,000 appropriation, and the first year of the Act would enable the Legislative Finance Committee to see if this is affordable. If it's not affordable, then there's a sunset clause. Nothing set up, no commission, nothing is set up until we know that the numbers are affordable.
What are the cost savings that happen when you do this as opposed to using the system that we have now?
Enormous. We have had two studies in New Mexico, one in 1994. Had we implemented a plan like this and started it in 1997, in 7 years we would have saved $4.6 billion.
Billion?
Billion dollars.
We in New Mexico don't know what a billion is.
I know. And the second study that was more recently done at the behest of the governor was by Mathematica, and the report in 2007 said it was the only proposal that Mathematica studied that actually saved money, reduced rising health care costs, and over a period of time, hundreds of millions of dollars would be saved.
So where is that money going now that it would be saved under the Health Security Act?
To the incredible administrative inefficiency of our system. Insurance companies, the brokers, the underwriting, the large salaries to the CEOs, the profits to stakeholders, to stockholders, and just the administrative overall inefficiency of each plan. Each insurance company may offer not just dozens of plans, but hundreds of plans, different copays, deductibles, different fees. That has an administrative impact on doctors' offices, hospitals that are dealing with this enormously complex system. So if you create one old-fashioned health risk pool with the young, old, healthy, not so healthy, nobody would be discriminated against based on pre-existing conditions or age or anything, that you actually end up creating a simpler system and saving an enormous amount of money. And that's why we think that investing $500,000 for this session is an investment well worth making.
And the opposition is pretty much just the insurance companies, I would think.
Absolutely.
Not the citizens.
We are fighting tooth and nail. We have so much public support at this point. And we have 144 organizations that have specifically endorsed this. It's probably the largest coalition in the history of our state.
What are some examples of those organizations?
Oh, farmer rancher organizations, pharmacists, nurses, doctors, health councils, labor. I mean, one could go community organizations, the LULAC, the Hispano Roundtable. It just goes on and on. It's such a diverse organization. Or coalition. And in addition, we have 31 cities and counties that have specifically passed resolutions in support of the Health Security Act, including Santa Fe County and the city of Santa Fe.
So one of the things that is true is that when everybody is in the insurance pool, then there is no time or effort expended in excluding people, either telling them that their claim doesn't qualify or saying that you can't have insurance. And a lot of money goes into that now.
Absolutely, it does, in terms of refusing claims. I mean, obviously, this is not a plan that's going to cover everything in the world. We're using the state employee services that are offered, which is a very good package. And it doesn't cover the world, but it's a high-end package. And then there is a role for the insurance industry, just the way Medicare established one when it was created. And that is, people can buy more. Employers can buy more if they want.
Supplementary insurance that covers dental, optical, that kind of thing.
Or even more alternative, extra transplants. Because all high-end insurance companies have a limit on how many transplants you could have. I mean, how many physical therapy sessions you can have. So there's lots of ways that the insurance companies can offer supplemental. In addition, they could apply to be the third-party administrator, just as they are under Medicare. And that would mean they could administer the claims, but the claims must be administered in New Mexico. If we're setting up our own co-op, we have to provide jobs in our state.
So the jobs lost in the administration of in health insurance and so on right now, what would happen to those jobs? I mean, would there be administrative jobs in the new insurance universe?
There would be some shifting, and then there are people who would probably go into health services, which would be wonderful, because there would be greater opportunities for them. This plan, because it saves so much money, will, for instance, a hospital, let's say, that doesn't have to spend so much of its revenue on the administrative bureaucracy of claims processing, can then hire more nurses. It's not that you're reducing provider incomes.
Right.
You're allowing them to actually hire nurses and expand in needed areas.
One of the really big problems with for-profit insurance is, as we've said, they have an interest in not paying claims and excluding anyone who might cost them money. And then on the medical side, there is, if it's really a for-profit business, there is an interest in doing more procedures rather than keeping you healthy so that you don't have to have so many procedures done. Would there be an incentive under the Health Security Act to actually do preventive medicine so that people stay healthy?
One of the reasons I really like the state employee benefit package, and I'm not talking about their co-pays and deductibles, the actual services offered, is that there is preventive health care. And in fact, in this plan, there will be no co-pays required for preventive care.
So when you go for your annual checkup and so on, it's free?
It will be virtually free. Mm-hmm.
I just saw a Frontline special by T.R. Reid, who's a journalist who's gone to a bunch of countries, and we're going to be speaking to him on this program in the next few weeks, where he compared the health care systems of countries that had universal health care but do it in a whole bunch of different ways. Japan, Germany, Switzerland, Taiwan, and a few others, and he's writing a book about it that includes even more countries. And one of the things that was very interesting is that one of the ways that certain countries like Japan keep healthcare costs down is by negotiating prices on drugs and on procedures. Are you looking at that kind of thing?
Absolutely. In terms of this health plan, it would definitely negotiate drug prices. In fact, that's why the small pharmacists and the Pharmacist Association love this plan. We would have, the estimate is 1.6 million people, because the military, for instance, would be excluded because they have their own system. And about 1.6 million people would be included in this plan, and that is a big number of people to negotiate, not only drugs, but pharmaceutical drugs, but all the kinds of drugs that you might need for chemotherapy and other kinds of service, drugs that you might need in a doctor's office. And in addition, there will be negotiations with providers. And unlike these other countries, because I've never seen this before, we have that mediation kicks in if the provider groups and the plan can't agree. So this is going to be a very provider-friendly plan, a patient-provider-friendly plan. It's our co-op. Nothing can be done behind closed doors. It's our plan.
Transparency. We're talking to Mary Feldblum, Executive Director of the Health Security for New Mexicans campaign. So you've got basically the whole world behind you except for the insurance companies. What kind of leverage do the insurance companies have? Are they just taking every legislator out to expensive restaurants? And I mean, what's going on politically?
They're very, very powerful lobby. And when you think about it, the United States has not been able to establish a system of universal coverage because of the insurance industry. But Medicare was fought and won. And despite the kicking and screaming. And we think we can do it in New Mexico if the public lets their legislators know. And this session, it was very clear. In the House, the Speaker unfortunately assigned the bill to a very unfriendly committee, Business and Industry. The insurance industry was there in full force, and the bill got tabled. In the Senate, we're alive. We got through two committees, but the insurance industry is fighting tooth and nail to keep us locked up in a committee called Senate Finance. So we are asking supporters not only to call here in this area, we be Senator Nancy Rodriguez, but also the President Pro Tem of the Senate, the leader, Senator Tim Jennings.
And that basically call them and say, we are New Mexicans, we're in favor of this.
We're in favor of this, and it deserves to get to the floor of the Senate for a full vote.
Now, if some kind of universal health care were passed on a national level, now that we have a Democratic administration, what would that mean for a plan like this?
We're better off designing something in New Mexico that's sensitive to us. We've argued this for many, many years, because that happened in the early 90s with the Clinton plan. Wait for the Clinton plan. We don't know what's going to happen in D.C.
We're still waiting for the Clinton plan.
We're still waiting for the Clinton plan, and not only that, already the insurance industry is attacking Obama's approaches to national health care.
What arguments do they put forward? I mean, one of the very shaky arguments that I've heard that doesn't even make any sense is that consumers should be offered choice. You know, and I can see if you're buying a car, you might want a big car, a little car, a red car, a blue car, and you should have your choice. But when you're being offered health, you just want to not be sick. Everybody wants the same thing.
There's a real distinction between choice of health plan and choice of provider. And what people want is to be able to choose the doctor that they want to go to or the hospital, and they want comprehensive coverage. Those are the two things they want. The insurance companies use the word choice in a very deceiving way. They want the marketplace to take, you know, so that you have the choice of choosing a plan. Most people don't. You get your insurance from your employer. Your employer may only give you one choice. And then you're, of course, restricted to the network of doctors that's in that plan. So the current system is very restrictive. And we think that the only way to get around that is to finally shift the role of private insurance. It's so inefficient. And it's, of course, abusive in many ways because they do deny people coverage and go through all kinds of machinations to not even let you buy it when you want to. Is looking for your pre-existing conditions.
So their powerful lobby in New Mexico and in the United States, how do they actually work? I mean, is it just a simple case of buying people off?
No, it's access. You know, you're there. You create quite a few of them were spreading misinformation about the Health Security Act, and I had to counter that. Fortunately, some legislators told me what that misinformation was, and I showed them that that was completely inaccurate. But it's really unfortunate that I think legislators tend to not want to do something big. They tend to want to do the incremental. And what we've structured in this legislation is what we call a go-slow approach, so that it is not something that's going to happen quickly. You can't change the paradigm fast. And the first question is the numbers. And so let's take a look and see if this truly is affordable. And then set it up slowly, because we're convinced it will be. The insurance industry, you know, it says, oh, it won't be affordable. But the whole purpose of that first year is to show whether it is. What are they afraid of? The public is really unhappy for the most part with private insurance, and it is so disheartening in some sense to see how powerful they are in the legislature. It involves campaigns, campaign contributions, how you survive as a candidate, and it's why I think laws like public financing of campaigns, looking at our how people run for office and how it's paid for, is really critical. But we think we can win this. With 144 organizations in 31 cities and counties, we can win this, and it will be back next year if we don't make it this year.
Mary Feldblum is Executive Director of the Health Security for New Mexicans Campaign. The Health Security Act is moving through the legislature. If people want to find out more information, what should they do?
Well, we would urge them to call Nancy Rodriguez, Senator Nancy Rodriguez, and her number is 986-4264, 986-4264, and tell them about their support for health security. In addition, they should call Senator Jennings, who is the President Pro Tem of the Senate, the leader of the Senate, 986-4733. The message is not only supporting health security, but get the bill to the floor of the Senate for a vote. If they want to contact us directly through our website, www.nmhealthsecurity.org.
Mary Feldblum, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a few minutes. Please stay tuned to KSFR.